I ended up on Sunday preaching a message, Love the Great Motivator. I'm going to do part three and we'll finish it up tonight. As we look through some of those things, and I may need to teach instead of preach so much, but God is love. We saw that in 1 John 4, and we considered His love, that He gave Himself for us. He sent His Son to die on the cross. That's love. That's the definition, really, of love, is giving of self. We have such a misunderstanding of love. We think that it is not a choice when it is. You may fall into lust, which is different. You may, you know, there are a lot of things, but love is a choice that you make. A husband loves his wife because he chooses to love her. A wife chooses to love her husband because she chooses to love him. Parents love their children. You say it's natural. Well, have you seen some of the things done to children? So it's not natural. It's something that can become very natural if you understand, you know, what it takes to be a parent and give of yourself. You know, then it becomes more natural as you go. But, you know, you have to consciously and consistently say, hey, I'm going to love my children no matter what. That's how God loves us. He loves us. He gave Himself for us. He lives in us. And He will continue to love us, you know, for the rest of our days. So that's what we looked at first. We looked at fear, and fear is a motivator, but fear is not the greatest motivator, because God says we haven't received the spirit of bondage again to fear. He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. So God doesn't want us to be motivated simply by fear. He wants us to be motivated by love. And then Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3. I want you to turn to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 4, actually. But Paul's prayer was, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And that was Paul's prayer. Now I want us to consider some things about, you know, your first love. In Revelation 2:4, it says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Your first love is really God. When you get saved, that's the first time you really have the aptitude to understand something about love. You love Him because of what He's done for you. And that's very important to understand. In Revelation, He's talking to a church, and that church has left their first love. You've got to make sure, I've got to make sure that we don't leave our first love. And then, of course, we know He loved us first, and then we loved Him. He loved us by sending His Son down here to die on that cross. I'll read to you John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So that's talking about the kind of love, laying down your life for your friends. That's Jesus Christ and the fact that He laid down His life for us. Now I want to look at Ephesians 4, how are we to express our love? Let's look at a couple of things on this. We'll look at Ephesians 4, verse 3, and see what the Bible says. It says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, and forbearing one another in love. You have to forbear one another. You have to determine, I have to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That's not the one I wanted. Forbearing one another in love. Might be 13. It is not. Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter. No, I'm not. All right. Look at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head even of Christ. I tell people in other churches all the time, one of my greatest endeavors in life is to speak the truth in love. I have spoken the truth in a harsh manner before, demeaning, you know, just I know more than you know, and therefore, boom, 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 I take the Bible and sort of hit them over the head with it. Well, the Bible says speaking the truth in love. If you can keep that in mind, that is what your goal and my goal is going to be, you'd be surprised at the effectiveness of it. I have lost people that I deal with all the time, especially with the house and in the community. And I have to be very careful. They know who I am. They know what I stand for. And I try to speak the truth in love and try to keep it that way. Look at Romans chapter 12. How do we express our love? Romans 12. And we're just looking at mainly one verse each time. We could do the whole context, but I don't want to do that, especially tonight. Romans 12, verse 19. The Bible says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto the wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Now look at verse 9. "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good." Let love be without dissimulation. That has to do with a hypocritical attitude. Our love is to be without dissimulation, the Bible says. Look at Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. And I think this is an amazing passage. When you talk to people, they say, well, you can't ever be in debt. You know, you can't owe anybody anything. And they'll use verse 8 for that proof text. Owe no man anything. That's not talking about going and getting a loan for a car. I'm not talking about a mortgage. That's not what it's talking about. I'm talking about what we owe one another. What do we owe one another? To love one another. Look what it says. Owe no man anything, but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. You know, we've got a lot of people that talk about the law, but if you don't love others, you don't fulfill the law. You fulfill the law by loving one another. Look at verse 9. For this, for what? Because you love others, now you look at the commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandments, briefly comprehend in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So here's the law. Don't commit adultery. Don't kill. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Why? So you can be accepted of God? It's not what the verse says. The verse says, if you love others for this, because you love, you'll live right. Yes, sir. That's the crux of the whole thing. For this, because of what you're doing in verse 8, you will not do and break those commandments in verse 9. And in fact, he says that all of it is briefly comprehended in this saying, thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. Can you do that? Not always easy, but you can. Verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. In other words, if you truly love somebody, you don't seek out vengeance, you work no ill toward them. Therefore, love is the what? Fulfilling of the law. You got that whole law back there. What is the fulfillment of the law? Oh, don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do that. You'll be accepted of God. Bring the sacrifices. No, it was all about one thing, love. If the Jews would have kept the law, they would have had a testimony to the world that they were a peculiar people. If Christians would do right, then people would be flocking to us saying, hey, what is it that you have that I don't have? And it's not that you keep it in order to, you know, boast, because then that's counterproductive and really hateful and not loving. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Look at verse 11. I just go over this because this verse I love too. Knowing the time that now is at knowing the time that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. How can that be? I thought you already saved. Again, salvation in the Bible generally does not refer to the soul's salvation. Our salvation is the rapture. Our salvation is to leave this body and get a glorified body. So what is near? Our salvation is nearer than when we believed. Why? Because we're one day older than what we were yesterday. So that day that we're going to get a glorified body, that day is near and near and near and near. And that's how we ought to glorify God for that very purpose. So love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Look at Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Look at verse 6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Faith which worketh by love. Again, your problem, my problem is faith. Your problem, my problem is love. Faith is worked by love. They're interconnected. If we understand love, we'll have more faith. And all of these things are to point out that, look, you can live the Christian life. Look at Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17, sort of an eye-opening verse. By the way, this weather change on and off. And oh, the house, it's sometimes, we just put an air conditioner in the window over there. It gets so humid over there. I said, man, I'm coming in out of this humidity. It's getting to me on my sinuses. And then the rain and the no rain and the deluge. Good night. But I saw it. We did not get hit like what was coming through. I guess it rained hard and our cat got really scared. So scared, she pushed the barrier with her head. Judy said about, I don't know, 1 or 2 o'clock, whatever time it was. I think the cat got in. I said, nah, because I don't want to get up. She gets up and yep, that cat had pushed that barrier because she was so scared. And one time we had locked her in the bathroom because I think we were driving and the doorway is only that much. And that cat squeezed her head underneath that door and got out. They just get determined. It's pretty wild. You know, cats are different from dogs. This one, I got more pictures on my phone of this cat than I do of my wife. Don't I? And so do you. You got more of that cat than me. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend loveth at all times. You want to be a good friend? Love without reciprocation. Don't say, well, I care about you today until you do something wrong, and then, well, nothing to do with you. Don't do that. Don't do that. A friend loveth at all times. Look at Ephesians 5. I probably should have gone over this one while we were back there, but Ephesians 5, verse 1 says, be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. So he says, walk in love. Walk in love. That's how we need to walk. You want to walk the Christian walk? Walk in love. I am drawing to a close. You guys are going to be shocked. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. When you do the third part of a message, all you got is meat and bones. And not much meat. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You guys are going to be like, man, I hope he gets hay fever all the time. Look at verse 24. Wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. This means you need to prove your love in word and in deed. Prove it to the church. Prove it to your spouse, your children, your co-workers, employees, employers, family, lost and saved alike. To those that are lost in the neighborhood or in the general area. Show them the proof of your love. Nothing wrong with that. How do you prove your love? You give. Give of yourself. And listen, we're a busy people. It's not easy always to give, give, give. And especially if you get taken advantage of in the past, you'll have a tendency to draw back. But remember the motto, speaking the truth in love. Walk in love. Prove your love. All of those things. We're finished. Let's stand. Don't anybody ever look at the clock right now. Wish I had a business meeting tonight.